What kind of man welcomes the company of the hurting, helpless, and the hopeless?
What kind of a man can heal the pain with a single soft touch?
What kind of a man multiplies hope and freedom as easily as he does fish and bread?
Who else can turn our dusty old religion into a brand new relationship?
What kind of man would claim to be God in the flesh, but then allow that same flesh to be torn apart?
What kind of a man would embrace betrayal?
Insults.
Torture.
Mockery.
And death.
And yet, live to tell about it.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody.
Who could speak with such authoritative words and yet drench them with compassion?
Who could be strong enough to still the storms, yet be so meek and humble?
Who could allow the hands that created the universe to also be nailed into a wooden cross?
Who could choose patience despite deserving immediate and complete obedience?
Who could be blameless and without fault, but still endure the judgment others deserve?
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody.
Who will love us like him?
Who will be with us when all others have left?
Who comforts us in suffering?
Who is our peace in the midst of anxiety?
Who reassures me when my mind is drowning in doubt?
Who accepts me as I am, with no strings attached?
Who else would die for me while I was sinking in sin?
Who else can turn the grave into Easter morning?
Nobody.
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 Nobody but Jesus.
Good morning. The tomb is empty. Isn't that awesome? A story been told millions of times has never changed. You know, it's just an amazing thing that's ever happened. I always think about it, man. I just the amazing love that was poured out for us, and this sacrifice that just happened, and the way that this occurred is just amazing to me. So let's all stand up. You guys ready to worship this morning? I know it's kind of early. You know, we got morning voices on. You know, just I know you guys can lift it up for me and just. I know I gotta. So it's kind of like a electric guitar at 8:15 in the morning. Wow.
Wake up song.
All right, let's all sing together.
Singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned. shall see. It will be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous. Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. His love for me.
All right, sing it all together. One voice.
Singing how wonderful and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love.
Put your hands together, wake up. Come on, wake up.
Sing it back.
Through you the blind will see. Through you the mute will see. Through you the dead will rise. All hearts will praise. Through you the darkness beats. Through you my heart screams, I am free. And I am free to run.
Yes, I am free. I wanna reach out and touch the flame where the streets have no name. Oh, I wanna feel sunlight on my face. I see the dust cloud disappear without a trace. I wanna take shelter from the poison rain where the streets have no name.
There we go. Lord God, we just thank you so much that we are free. And when the Son sets you free, you are free what? Indeed. And so, God, we just thank you for your Son's life, for his suffering and death and his resurrection that changed everything else in the world, God. And I just pray that we'll just grasp hold of that and we'll be a church of Easter Sunday, not one of Good Friday where all hope is lost. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, a couple announcements. Number one, we do have Sunday school during this time, our Shoreline Sunday School, so our kids can go there. We have coverage of both services. And then say hi to somebody near you. You like my tie? Special occasions. Don't get used to it. All right. So I'm already like, okay. So if I have to hit some more high notes, you might see it come off. Welcome. We're glad you're here today. We are thrilled to be here to celebrate that Jesus Christ is risen. And we're excited about that, and we should live our lives that way. We're very, very excited. So happy, happy Easter to everyone. And so we want to go ahead and lift it up. Number one, if you're a visitor today, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're glad that you're here. Hopefully you were able to fill out a card receive a card, fill that out, because we never believe, and I know people who have been here for a while are probably tired of hearing this, but we never believe that you're here by mistake. We believe that God brought you in here for a reason and a purpose, and that's what we're excited about, that you're here to worship with us today. So if you're here today, please go ahead and you can hand that in and take that out there to one of our greeters, and they'll make sure that they take care of that, and we even have a small gift for you as well. If you want to become a member of Haven, you can look at those information. They're also looking for other people who want to be involved in Sunday school. And if you'd like to do that, you can see the information there. Dining for Women Party, you have to be a woman. Okay, just letting you know, it's not dining for men or anything else. It's dining for women. But if you'd like to, you can go ahead and connect with that. And that information for Judy Music is in there. We're going to have some, our youth is going to be doing our 30-hour famine. And you can see the dates for that. And Haven, National Day of Prayer. This is going to be open to anybody, but we are going to be having a service for the National Day of Prayer. Thank you. And the National Day of Prayer, which will be on Cinco de Mayo, May 5th. So we're going to have a service, and you can see some of the information there. And if you're interested in more information about that, you can connect with Debbie Chadwick. Some other things, you can see the Angel Gown Ministry, which Lisa lifted up the other week, and that information, you can look at that. Please be sure to share with different people on the 12th of April, which will be here before we know it, believe that or not. After that comes the 15th, and you know what that is? Tax day. But we're on the 12th, we're going to have a free Narcan training. So we know with the drug issue that we have in our world and our community that many people would like to get trained for Narcan, and the doctor will be right here with the prescription and everything else. So we did that last year, and it was something that was well received, and we had people from the community and around us really connect and go into there. Other outreach and serving opportunities that we have is on the Parish Foundation, April 17th. We will be serving there. Bonnie, we still need a lot of stuff, right? We're good? Okay, great. But if you're new and you just want to know what the Parish Foundation is about, you can go ahead and connect with Bonnie, and we'll go ahead and connect you there. It's a great ministry, and those of you who've been around for a while may have heard Mike Brandon speak here, who runs the Parish Foundation. So we're just glad that we are a part of that with our churches. Prayer requests. If you have a prayer request that you forgot to put down or didn't put down behind the sconce back there, you can go ahead and write a prayer request down. Or if you are watching online, or if you're like, I don't want to get up there, but I want the prayer request, go ahead and you can put it online at havencc.org. We welcome online church as well. They can go ahead and connect there. One of our online church members is also one of our prayer people today. My sister Jill, who's usually very present up here, has the beginning stages of the flu, and they are leaving for vacation tonight. So hope that Tamiflu kicks in, and this is about resurrection, so hopefully they'll resurrect her out of the flu. and go on. There's a lot of stuff going around. We also want to pray for Stephen Stiles as he has pneumonia. So there's a lot of different things going around, and we want to make sure that everybody is healed from that. Do we have any other prayer requests, just real quick to mention? Anyone? Okay, well, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer during this time, and we're going to receive God's tithe and our offering. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now, and we ask for your spirit to be here in a mighty way today. As we recognize that the greatest event ever, the thing that changed all of history, when you came, not only came into the world, but you suffered, you died, and you rose again in Jerusalem, and you set the world on its end. And so, God, we realize that nothing ever compares to that. You are a one-of-a-kind Savior, and we need that. And so, God, what we ask right now is that your Holy Spirit will just fill this place. For those who are dealing with sickness, like Jill and Stephen, who we mentioned, just heal their bodies, God, and just get them back with us and strong. We know that they've contributed already to the service today, but we just pray that you'll just heal them. And God, for everyone else who's dealing with this time of loss, I know some of our own family prayed for Robin and Ray Hildebrand as their loved one has now passed on from this world. And God, that's why we celebrate this day, because you conquered sin and death, and you set yourself up forever as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And through you, God, you paid the price, as we talked about the other day. But we don't serve a Savior who's dead in the tomb. We serve one who's alive and one who blesses us each and every day. And so, God, as a portion of just some of those blessings, we now return some of that back to you in your tithe and our offerings. And God, we pray that in this next year that you would just help us reach out more to the community, that you would help us just change lives for you. Everything else we do makes no sense if people don't come and connect to a risen Savior. As the Apostle Paul wrote, if Jesus hasn't risen from the dead, then we are the biggest of all fools. But you did raise from the dead, and God, we got to live that way. We can't just go throughout our lives just acting like, oh, great, Jesus rose from the dead. We're so numb to it 2,000 years ago. But you suffered, you died, and you rose again, not because you had to do it, but because your love for me. And so, God, I thank you that when this body gives up, that I'm going to rise and be with you. I'm going to be with you forevermore. I thank you for your gift in Christ's mighty name. Amen. Give me a second. Are you capable? Okay, one.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. And I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear. and my faith shall be my eyes wide. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise.
Can't ever get through that chorus.
Good morning. The first portion of today's reading is from the book of John, chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, the death of Lazarus. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." And from John chapter 11, verses 20 to 25. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And from Matthew chapter 25, verses 5 and 6. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.
Right. You got ready for that now? That was kind of good. Everybody awake? Yeah. Did you go last night and watch Superman versus Batman or something? You know, this is like the first time that the Superman movie's been out. I haven't done a sermon on it. You realize that? So don't worry, I'm not going to strip down and be in my Superman costume today, so everybody can relax. I just want to start off in just saying, again, Happy Easter. And I wanted to go ahead and just thank you for worshiping with us today. I think it's great that we're coming together, that you chose to worship God here on this, the greatest event of our world. And many of you may be watching online today, and we want to welcome you. But all of us are here to celebrate some of the stuff we've already talked about. We've already had a good sunrise service, and it wasn't too cold in March. I think that's a first. It started to get a little bit wind, but it was beautiful. We had celebrated communion again. Fred sang some really cool songs, and God's just been good already so far. I did my traditional almost crying through I Will Rise. That's okay. But the tomb is empty, and that's why we're here. That's why we meet every week, because the tomb is empty. If the tomb's not empty, then I've wasted the last 20 years of my life, and you're wasting your time right now if the tomb is not empty. In fact, everything is all about Jesus because of this event. And today is a good day because we're starting a brand new series. We just finished up our series, One Month to Live, and so we led that throughout the Lenten season, and now we're here today where we're starting a brand new series called I Am Jesus. So in case you want to know, my initials are JC, but no, I am not Jesus. I just want to share that with you, make that clear. I don't want anybody to go and say you saw the Lord today, okay? Because then we are all in trouble. But I did meet somebody one time who thought they were Jesus, and I'm about 99.99999% it wasn't Jesus, okay? But over the next several weeks, pretty much 4 weeks, we're going to go ahead and we're going to look in the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, there are seven I am sayings from Jesus, where Jesus said, I am, and it's an I am statement. Several of them are this: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the bread of life. If you eat of me, you will never go hungry again. I am the gate, or I am the door by which you enter. Next week, we're going to talk about I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And this one is one that's been special to me. I still remember when a seminary professor actually unpacked it for me in a really neat way. And so we're going to talk about what it means to be a shepherd and a sheep. Then we have I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness again. And the fourth and final week of our series, we are going to be dealing with, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me, and then you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you cannot do anything. And today, we're going to go start off with what I believe is the best I am statement, because it sets everything else, and that is, I am the resurrection and the life. So I want you to say that with me. I am what? Say it again with conviction. I am? There we go. There we go. So what exactly is the resurrection? The resurrection is when someone dies and comes back to life. And you know, we recognize Jesus' resurrection. And as we sang that song, I Will Rise, I always think about how he's going to raise this old body up one day and give me a new body. Anybody excited about that new body? I am. I don't have to get on one elliptical. I can eat cheeseburgers in heaven. It's awesome. So, but I got to tell you a story one time of a resurrection in our house. That my kids had a pet. Its name was Smelly Flowers. And Smelly Flowers was a fish, a goldfish. And we had, Smelly Flowers was one of those carnival fish, right? My daughters are here. Remember Smelly Flowers? And Smelly Flowers, Jacob named him, right? And I don't know, you might have. But anyway, Smelly Flowers was a fish that we bought at a carnival, and usually by the time you get them home, they're dead, right? But Smelly Flowers stayed around forever. I don't know where Smelly Flowers came from. But anyway, that's where he stayed around forever, and he was like the fish that was great. We kept him in a bowl and changed the water and put the stuff in, and he was just living a good life as Smelly Flowers. Well, one day, I'm not going to say it was my wife, but I will. She filled the bowl a little too high, and I came out, and I didn't see Smelly Flowers. And Smelly Flowers was laying on the kitchen floor, and he wasn't moving. And I picked Smelly Flowers up. I didn't give him mouth to mouth. I didn't do that. But I picked Smelly Flowers up because he had gotten really big. We'd had him about a year or two. He was pretty big. He went from little carnival to like really big fish. And we had him in a big bowl. And so I picked him up and I put him in the water. And I was like, oh God, come on. The kids will freak. I don't want to go through the whole death. You know how you have to go through the death thing with the kids? You know, I didn't want to go through that because they hadn't had to do with that yet. So I'm taking him, and I'm saying a prayer in my mind, and I'm taking Smelly Flowers, and I'm taking his tail and pushing him through the water. Just pushing Smelly Flowers. I'm like, I'm flicking him, going, come on, come on. And you know what? Smelly Flowers started to move a little bit, and then he started to roll over. I'm like, no, 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 and I'd smack him around a little bit more, and Smelly Flowers would swim a little bit more, and, you know, before you knew it, Smelly Flowers are swimming around the bowl, and meanwhile, Melissa's looking at me like, what's going on? I said, Smelly Flowers is out, and I'm like, putting him in there, and so Smelly Flowers lived for like another couple days or a week. It was awesome. A resurrection in our house of Smelly Flowers. Smelly Flowers then died, and I had to bury him, and I had to do the same thing. Had to deal with that anyway. So, and he's buried under a tree, and we all know where it is. But anyway, where Smelly Flowers is. But today, I want to tell you a much greater story than mine about Smelly Flowers. Because the resurrection of Jesus is the greatest story that has ever been told. And a lot of people don't understand that when he said, I am the resurrection of life, this actually comes from a different story than it does from the Easter story or the resurrection story. And I want to look at that story with you, and I want you to look at John chapter 11, if you have your Bibles with you. If not, you have a bulletin that you can fill in some blanks with, I believe. And so you, hopefully everyone received that, and you can get a chance to go ahead and fill in some blanks and follow along or count down to when I'm done, whatever you want to do. And so I want to look at that story, and we're going to look at four different ways that many of us die on the inside. And we're going to see how the resurrection of Jesus can bring that back to life. So I want to look at this, and today I'm going to try something. I'm going to try pulling out my Bible. I'm going old school. Yeah, a lot of times I'm charging up my iPad. I could have used it, but I wanted to try this. And you know, something happened in the last couple years. My arm got shorter, so I can't see as well. So you'll see me doing some of this. You know, and it's not about my eyes because I'm much too young for that kind of stuff. But, of course, Debbie the other night gave me some reading glasses the other night. And you know what? It was really clear. So But anyway, we're going to look at this. So you'll bear with me as we look through this. But this is a story that may be familiar to many of you, and I printed a lot of it in your bulletin for you. But you can see this is about Jesus and a man named Lazarus and his two sisters. We've talked about his sisters before, Mary and Martha. You might remember a couple weeks ago, those of you who were here, we talked about Martha, who was busy in the kitchen preparing everything. Mary was at the feet of Jesus, and Martha was having a fit. She's like, that sister of mine. She was all mad in there, and Jesus said to her, Martha, 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 just you worry about a lot of stuff. Why don't you just focus on what's important? That's what Mary's doing. So I want to read this to you, and we're going to go through some of this, and we're going to touch on it. So it says, now a man named Lazarus was sick, and he was from Bethany, in the area of Bethany, and he was in the village of Mary, and he was the brother of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus was now sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. Now, that was a very important part of life, where she poured out this very expensive perfume that could have been years of wages. Judas got a little bit upset with it, everything, and she wiped with her hair. It was just a matter of doing that. So the sister sent word to Jesus. You know, he's not in town. Sent word to Jesus, the one that you love is sick. So Mary says, hey, the one that you really care about, that one who's like your brother in life, he's really, really sick to the point of death. It was bad news in the middle of a good life. And there's a lot of people here who deal with that bad news in the middle of a good life. Like, for instance, there are many people, and you may be here or watching online today, that are hurting right now, that you've heard some bad news. You may have had the same news that you heard. You're going through life, everything's good, and somebody says, hey, guess what? That person that you love, that brother, that sister, that cousin, that friend, they're really sick, even to the point of dying. Somebody may have heard that somebody that they love has cancer or some other disease. Or for somebody else, it may be that job that you love and you gave to. I hate to tell you, but we're cutting back and it's going away. Or some of you may be that dream marriage that we started out and we walked down the aisle and we were so happy turned into a complete nightmare. That close friendship that you thought that you shared everything with and were vulnerable with, it didn't work out. Or you could be a parent and the principal calls and wants to talk to you and it has nothing to do with your kid being on the honor roll. You got bad news. And something that's not favorable. I remember in my life, and over the years of 20 years of ministry, just remembering different calls that I received during my time. I remember a call one time of a young man, age 25. I got a call from his mother that he had had a motorcycle accident and was burned very badly. That was around Thanksgiving, right? Like a couple days before Thanksgiving. And then I remember another call. I remember going to seeing him in Chester Crozier, and I remember a call a couple days before Christmas that he had passed away and preparing a funeral some 18 years ago. I remember another call I received one time from a man named Rick down in Lewis. I had come home for the weekend. Our family was down there. We were coming home. I had gotten all the way home, and I got a call that the family was out to dinner. And this was the patriarch of the family. Keep in mind here that he was the father to his grandson and granddaughter because their father was a Delaware State trooper who was killed in chasing a drunk driver. And so he was the dad of the dads, and he kind of held everything together for people. And he was a jovial guy. I could still see him with Rick with a straw hat and a big cigar, and I used to look at him. And anybody remember the show The A-Team? I used to call him Hannibal, and I'd say, I love it when a plan comes together. And he'd laugh real big and hearty, and he'd go on. Well, they were out to dinner one night down in Rehoboth area, and he wasn't feeling too well. He went and sat in the car while they did some shopping. He came back out, still wasn't feeling well, went to the hospital, and he was in the process of having a massive heart attack. And they needed to get him to Christiana. But on that night, there was thunderstorms, and the helicopter couldn't land and get him there. I was coming down to meet them because I had been home. I was running as fast as I could down Route 1, and I got a call from somebody that said they had to pull over into Milford Memorial Hospital. When you're having a heart attack, Milford's not set up for that. They were hoping to get him to Dover because they were set up a little bit more. And they pulled in there, and I remember sitting in the room with this large family, this family where this father had, they had depended on him for so many things. And I still remember sitting next to his wife as the doctor came out, and I saw the look on the doctor's face. And I knew it wasn't good, and they said, "I'm sorry, your husband's passed." I think many of us have had that bad news before in our lives, and we want to do something, we want to react. I wanted to do anything. I wanted to, God to clear the storm so that they could get him there, but it just didn't happen. And here we have this case, so that when all of a sudden this people who Jesus loves, it's like his adoptive family in around Jerusalem and Bethany, they say, "The one you love is sick." And when Jesus heard this, when we hear, like when I heard somebody needs you and somebody's sick, I took off. In a car, isn't that what we do when someone we love and we care about? We run out real quick. Look at what Jesus did in verse 4. When he heard this news, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for the glory of God, and so that God's Son may be glorified with it." What I've learned is the very thing that you don't expect to happen in life, the thing you don't like, at times God will utilize to glorify himself. But I want to give you a real quick summary of what happens in verses 5 through 14. We would think that the story, if we were writing it, would be Jesus headed off. He grabbed a colt and a donkey and took off and started riding through wherever he was. Okay, just ride through and went to Bethany and pulled up on a white steed. Got off and said, "Where is he?" and healed him, and everybody was happy. But let me share what Jesus did, and some of you know this. When Jesus heard this news, he made that statement and did absolutely nothing. Matter of fact, Jesus decided to stay for a couple more days, doing nothing. He hangs out. They're freaking out. He's hanging out. Have you ever had those times where you say, "Yoo-hoo, God, where are you?" And you feel like he's just hanging out. Just hanging out, and you're freaking out. I love this section of scripture because Jesus knows what he's doing, but nobody else does. So 2 days later, he goes, "Hey, let's go back to Judea," which is where Bethany is. And then they say, "Wait a second, Jesus. We've waited around after you got this news, so he's probably in bad shape now. Second thing is, there's some people that want to kill you back there. And I'm not too excited about that because we're hanging with you." And Jesus makes this statement. He says, "No, Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I must go wake him." And then all of a sudden, they say, "Well, if he's sleeping..." Now, keep in mind, you got disciples saying, "People want to kill him, kill me. I think I'll just stay right here." Then he says, "He's asleep." So what do you do? Anybody, one of those people, anybody been sick this year? How many are like me? When you're sick, you just want to crawl up in a ball and shut the world out. Anybody like that? How many of you are the people that want somebody to be over top of you all the time? "Do you need something, dear? What's wrong with you?" Okay? What's wrong with you? I like to just get by myself, sweat it off, and block everybody out in the world out. But so here's what the disciples say. "Hey, if he's sick and he's sleeping, that's good. He'll get well." That's not what Jesus meant. Jesus said, "No, he's dead. And we're going back there." And I love this. I got to read this to you because Thomas, let's look at the scripture in verse 16. Verse 16, let me see if I find it. I need those glasses. So he told them plainly, Lazarus, in verse 14. "So Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I'm not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Then Thomas, also called Didymus," say with me, "Didymus." Say it again, "Didymus." Doesn't that sound like a bad rapper? I'm P. Didymus, right? So Didymus. I'm going to tell you what Didymus means. Didymus is a nickname. And it means the same thing as his real name means. It means twin. Now, we don't know whether he had a twin, but they think the disciples gave him this name for one reason. And many scholars believe Didymus is because he looked a lot like Jesus. That he had some of the same facial features as Jesus. And people often got them mixed up. Now, let me tell you, where have we come from? We've come from a place where you got a sick guy who's probably dead by now. Jesus has said he's dead. Now he's saying, "I'm going to go back there and wake him up." And you know that people want to kill you. If you look like Jesus, are you really excited about going back? Not one bit. And he goes, and listen to what his response is. This is the greatest response of a disciple in the Bible. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us go also so that we can die with him." You hear the sarcasm in there? Oh, great. It's the one who, oh, what a great time I look like Jesus. You know, it was really cool when everything good's going on. And, oh, Jesus. Yeah, you know, kind of like looking like him, say, yeah, okay, I'll go with this. But then when they want to kill him, he said, oh, great. I look like Jesus. Let's go back so I can die. He's not excited about that at all. Didymus is not there. He's so sarcastic. We know him as Doubting Thomas. But he's sarcastic Doubting Thomas. Let us go. In other words, what he's saying, this is not going to be good for me or the rest of you, but I'm the one who looks like Jesus. And you can see the rest of them saying, whew, glad I don't look like him. You see, I have a curious question. How many of you would be honest to say in your life that you're a lot like Thomas, that you've had some spiritual doubt in your life? Go ahead, let's be honest today. You've had some spiritual doubt. The ones who are raising your hand, good for you. The other ones are you. You can polish your halo while I do the rest of the sermon. Because everybody at some point has had some kind of situation, some time where you prayed and you believed and you trusted that God would do something, and he just didn't show up. And all of a sudden, bam, you're nailed with all these questions and doubts. And you're like, why didn't you do this, God? Why didn't you heal that person? And you might have been in a class. You had this faith all along, and then all of a sudden you're in a class where somebody begins to question about the Christian faith, and then you start to wonder, well, is this just the faith of my parents, or is this real? You believed in God, and something really bad happened to someone that you love. And you say, well, if God is good, why would he let that happen? If God is all-powerful, why didn't he stop it? If he's all-loving, where was he? And suddenly, you're like Thomas. Something on the inside is a little bit dead in your doubts. And that's the first thing that we have in our bulletin today. Dead in your doubts. That many of us have that Thomas part of us. And I'm going to share three people on how that works today. But some of us are just dead in our doubts. We have these doubts, and it's just caused an area of our lives to be dead. Because maybe we had a relationship that we had hoped for, and things got well for a while, and then we really got close to God, and then all of a sudden it fell off the cliff, and then we're like, wow, now what? Maybe God really didn't have anything to do with that. Maybe it was just chance. Or maybe you're like Mary. You're not really dead in your doubts, but what you're dead in is you're dead in your discouragement. Anybody ever been discouraged in life? Really discouraged? That you don't see anything good happening? You just can't seem to get a break? The whole when it rains, it pours? Mary was very discouraged. And I find this interesting because previously the situation we had with Mary and Martha is Mary was at the feet of Jesus. Mary's pouring out perfume and wiping her with her hair. Martha's in the kitchen doing the work and getting frustrated, and we love to say, bad Martha, how dare you? You need to be there with Jesus. But listen to this. In verse 20 it says, when they heard that Jesus was coming, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But what did Mary do? Mary stayed home. That's not the Mary who lays at the feet of Jesus, is it? You know why? Because she has such discouragement. Maybe why bother? Why bother going out there? He's already dead. There's nothing that can happen. That may be honestly where some people in this room or watching online today are. I can't change anything. I'm always going to feel alone. I'm always going to be a depressed person. I'm always going to be stuck in a dead-end job. I'm never going to have the marriage I thought, so why bother? I'm just kind of stuck. I'm discouraged. But today you're not going to show it, right? Because you got your best dress on today, right? Because it's Easter. If we were several years ago, there'd be a lot of bonnets in this place, right? You remember Easter bonnets? And you'd have them on, and you'd have your good stuff. And some of you are really good about trying to hide this discouragement in your life, and you've even got the Christian language to deal with it down. You can put... When someone says, how you doing? You say, oh, hey, hallelujah, praise God. Yeah, it's great. Or you may say, fine, thank you, Jesus. Or you may say, glory to God, he's risen, yay. And then meanwhile, you have this dead area of your life of discouragement because of how life is going. You see, you're smiling on the outside, but really it's a tomb inside because of your discouragement. You're dead in your doubts, or you're dead in your discouragement, or both. Or maybe, just maybe, you're like Martha, who was dead in the delay. That's our third one. Dead in the delay. It took too long. Has anybody ever had something where God just took too long for you? Way too long for you? Martha, Jesus should have come back earlier. Why did he take so long? Look at what it says in verse 17, John chapter 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. So what does that matter? What does it matter that he's in there for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days? Because there was this traditional belief in the time. It wasn't a biblical or a Christian belief, but it was a traditional belief that for the dead people, after about 3 days, their spirit hung around. They just kind of hoped that something would happen. By the fourth day, you're very, very dead. So for those of you like who have ever seen the movie The Princess Bride, he wasn't any mostly dead anymore. He was dead dead. He was really, really dead. Jesus intentionally waited till he wasn't mostly dead, till he was real dead. You guys want to see The Princess Bride if you've never seen it. It's a classic. And so here's this belief. He's dead. And so Martha says, if you'd been here, it would have been different. And Jesus says, take me to the tomb. Let's get that stone out of the way. And and Martha realizes how dead he is because she begins to describe how he smells. And this is where I love, love, love the King James. Because the King James says, he's been in there 4 days and he stinketh much. Some of you who've had teenagers know they stinketh much, right? He stinketh more than a teenager coming in after gym class for 5 days without bathing. You with me? He stinks. He's dead. Martha's saying, all hope is lost. He stinks. He stinketh much. Go ahead and use that this week. Say, woo, you stinketh much. We may say today, you are stanky. Right? But that's what we're saying. That's the new King James English, right? He's stanky. Lazarus is really dead. 4 days in a tomb. Spirit's gone. Not mostly dead, real dead, and he stinketh much. And she says in verse 11, Lord, if you had just been here, it would have been different. How many in your lives have you ever said, God, if you just showed up on time, my relationship would have been different. If you had just shown up a little bit more, my whole trajectory would have been different in my life. If you just showed up right when I ask you, maybe I wouldn't have lost that person that I love. You took too long. You took too long, and I'm not only discouraged, and I'm not only having doubts, but man, I'm dead because of the delay you had. You know, there are a lot of other people in the world. There's great Christian young men and women who want to get married and they're not married. And they're saying, God, I'm serving you and I'm following you. And yet everybody else is just doing whatever and they're getting married. I'm always a bridesmaid and this is getting old. I'm buying dresses and none of them are white. Everybody in my small group. You know, maybe a married couple says, we want to have kids. And you go ahead and you're trying, and all of a sudden, everybody else around you is having kids. And then you have those well-meaning people say, oh, when are you guys going to have children? You're like, you tell him. Where are you, God? You're not showing up. Others have prayed for someone who is far away from God to experience the goodness of God and have their lives changed. But it seems the more you pray and the deeper you get into the Word, the farther they get away. And you're saying, why don't you show up? Where are you, God? You need to be here because the situation stinketh much. Or maybe you prayed and believed that Jesus would heal someone. And I believe that we serve a God that all things are possible, yet you pray and you pray and you pray and He never shows up, or he shows up too late. I want to tell you something. I hope you hear this and never forget it. God's delays are not God's denial. God's delays are not God's delay. Just because God hasn't done something yet doesn't mean that he's not still in charge. And he has a plan for him to be glorified in all things in your life. As I said, when I looked at this Bible, this is a Bible that some of you heard that my parents gave to me, and it says, on the occasion of my first sermon. And it actually has another cover on it because it ripped off and it fell off, and I did what everybody does. I duct taped it in. To make it good. And so this is like, if I look at a Bible that is my Bible, my special one, this is it. You know, yeah, I use the iPad and other things because of that arm shortage thing. So I go ahead and use that now. But this is my heart Bible, okay? This is the one that I love. And I decided to pick up this Bible this week and really look at this story. Because when I first came to look at it, I had circled Jesus wept in this, one of the shortest verses of the Bible. And when I was looking at this, I started looking at, I have a couple different pages, and in this Bible, on page 1618, a lot of bad stuff goes on. Lazarus dies, Thomas freaks out, Mary's depressed, Martha's frustrated and mad. And then I turned the page to 1619, and everything that was bad on 1618 changes. It just seemed to work out that way. You see, all of them are going through what number four is on your life, pain. We all go through pain. And I want to share with you a verse about pain, if I can find it here. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And it starts in verse 4. It says, who comforts us in all our... I want you to do a little count here for me. If you hear something that sounds negative, just count for me, okay? So like, for instance, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, one, right? So that we can comfort those who are in any trouble, two, with the comfort which we ourselves receive from God. For if we share abundantly in the sufferings, three, of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, four, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces patient endurance of the same sufferings, five, that we suffer, six. And our hope is firm in you, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, there's seven, we also share in your comfort. So we're on seven now? This is just, so there's like one for every verse so far. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles. What number? Eight. We experienced, we were under great pressure, nine, far beyond our ability to endure, 10, so that we despaired of life itself. What are we at? 11. Indeed, we felt that we received the sentence of death. 12. On and on and on. On and on and on. Jesus told us that in this world you will have trouble and pain and sorrow. And sometimes what I've learned in life is sometimes I suffer more because of the cause for Christ. The Apostle Paul had a great thing going before he started to follow Jesus, and he had, ever since he followed Jesus, he was beaten, he was thrown in prison, he was tortured, he had all these things, but he considered all those things gain for the cause of Christ. We have come into our 21st century mindset that by being a Christian means everything is skipping through the daisies, and I'm telling you, it's not. But God will use it and bring glory to himself through it. Because so many of us are stuck on page 1618 of our lives, where it's all bad, it's all bad, it's all bad, it's all bad. And what we really need to do is turn the page. Because when we turn the page, we see something really good. In John chapter 11, verse 22, look at that on your sheet. John 11, 22. Martha says, but I know... This is after she said, if you've been here, if you've been here, and she says, but I know that even now, God will do whatever you ask. Say that with me. But I know that even now, say even now. Say it again, even now. She looks at Jesus. She knows he stinketh much. She knows he's not mostly dead. He's really dead. She knows that he delayed in getting there. And she says, but I know that even now, even in her doubts, she says, even now. I think some of us in this room and watching online need an even now moment. That you're stuck on page 1618, and it's time to turn the page to say, even now, God, in the midst of this, even now, I know you can do what you want. That even now, you are discouraged, the presence of Christ can come in and build your faith. Even now, when you feel alone, like there's no one out there, the presence of the Holy Spirit can come and give you peace that passes all understanding. Even now, our God can reach into your jacked up, messed up family and bring healing and wholeness and harmony and restoration. Even now, when everything looks impossible, we serve a God who says, all things are possible through Christ Jesus. Even now, when your heart may be cold and callous toward the things of God, in a moment God can soften your heart and draw you into his presence. Even now, when there's something that is dead in your life, the resurrection power of Christ can bring life to it. Jesus says to her in verse 23, your brother will rise again. And Martha says, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection in the last day. And Jesus says, no, that's not what I'm talking about. He said, I'm not talking about an event. He says, Martha, look here. Look here, Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even though they die, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he says to her, do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. The resurrection is not an event, it's a person, and his name is Jesus. Dead things don't stay dead when the resurrection walks into the room. When you open up your life to the resurrection of Jesus, he comes and brings that life of fullness because he is life and life eternal. And Jesus told him, take away the stone. And then Jesus did something. He called out in a loud voice. I guess dead people can't hear. He called out in a loud voice, said, Lazarus, Lazarus. You know why Jesus yelled Lazarus? Because if he just yelled, come forth, people would have been popping out of the tombs because that's the power of the risen Christ. That's the power of Jesus Christ. He just says, come forth, and then everybody's popping out of tombs. Boy, would that not have been a story. And it happened after on Saturday when he went into hell and released the captives. Matthew tells us a lot of holy people were walking around. Jesus is calling your name here today. I love the comparison between Lazarus and Jesus. Jesus is dead in the tomb and there's a stone blocking it. Lazarus is dead in the tomb and there's a stone blocking it. When Jesus goes to Lazarus, he tells the disciples, roll away the stone. When Jesus is in the tomb, the women walk up and say, who's going to roll away the stone? But guess what? Some of you who have lost faith and have lost hope and have lost peace in your life, you're delayed, you're discouraged, you've got doubts, and you're dead through the pain in your life. You feel trapped in a tomb of your own life. On this Easter, I want you to remember, Jesus didn't need anybody to roll away his stone. He rolled it away himself. That same voice that calls out, Lazarus, come out, is the same voice that calls to you. And I would have loved to have seen that, because Lazarus still had the grave clothes on. He still had this over his head. Can you imagine? He says, Lazarus, come out. He had to get up and say, what in the world? Whoo, I do stink. And he's like coming out like this. Wouldn't that have been funny? Jesus says, get the things off of him and get him something to eat. Lazarus had to do some work to get going. And guess what? So do we in the dead areas of life. We need to respond to what Jesus says. And then when he was on the cross, what we talked about the other night on Good Friday, when he was on the cross and in his dying breath, he leaned up and he said, it is finished. And he, into your hands I commend my spirit. And the earth went dark, and everyone who had hoped that he was the Messiah was on page 1618. But on Sunday, the page turned. The page turned. And I'm telling you, God is always glorified by the things that happen on 1618. We have no Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday if it's not for the page 1618 stuff that happened to Jesus on Good Friday. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me shall never die. My question to you is the same one Jesus gave to Martha. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? And do you live it? Amen. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up as we go to prayer right now. Please stand. Heavenly Father, today I pray that your word and your presence would build faith in your people. As we pray today, I know that there are a lot of us that are hurting right now, and there are struggles, there are trials. And I want to take a moment that if as you would say, yeah, Jack, you know what? I want to pray for you. And I want you to say, Jack, I really do need that prayer. Would you pray for me? Because I feel discouraged. Maybe you've got some doubts. Maybe you're wondering why God hasn't done what you need him to do. Maybe you're going through this intense amount of pain. But whatever it is, it's created this pain and this death in your life. Say, yeah, I want God. I need a touch from you. And God, I pray that by your power that you would intervene right now, spiritually speaking, for those that are hurting and feel alone. I pray that you would be their ever-present help in a time of trouble. That you'll be their comforter. And God, I know that on page 1618, not everything's good. And many of us are plodding through 1618 lives. Help us turn the page. I pray that you give us the strength to hold on in page 1618, and that when we get to 1619, that you would be glorified, that you would build our faith. And I love the question that Jesus asked when he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? And believing is more than just having knowledge of it. Do you live it? Does your life display it? Can people tell, as the old adage goes, if I was on trial for being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict me? You may have a head knowledge of Christ, but you don't understand that heart knowledge. You haven't given him your heart. You may have these internal doubts, and you felt like you weren't measuring up, but you didn't realize that things are different. Don't stay dead when the resurrection, his name is Jesus, walks in the place. That same voice that called Lazarus out calls you out of your sin and doubts today. And he's telling you there is forgiveness. He says, insert your name. I went to the cross for you and I rose for you that you may have life eternal. But being good is one of those things, but you're going to fall short. It doesn't matter what you've done, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. It doesn't matter how big your doubts are, or how bad you've been, how alone you feel, or how much you've messed up. When you come to him, he loves you unconditionally, and he forgives you, and he makes you brand new, and he fills you with the same spirit, as the scripture says, that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. And there are those of you who are right here at this moment, and Jesus is saying, come on, come out. Get those dead clothes off of you and let me bring my life to you. Maybe you miss, maybe you're still teetering and you're going to miss heaven by 18 inches because from your head to your heart. Know him personally. He will reach down in the darkness of your dead areas of your life and bring the light of life with resurrection power. If anything that I've said in this prayer, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if you say, that's me, you may be somebody who's been a Christian for years, but because of life, you feel distant. You're like Mary who just stays inside because you're not ready to deal with it. You're hurt. If you say, that's me, Jack, I need you to pray for me. I want this Easter, this resurrection day, to bring life where there's death in my life. If that's you with your, everybody's, nobody looking, just kind of raise your hand up where you are. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Others, I know we all need his grace and forgiveness in my life. So I just want to say this prayer. Heavenly Father, forgive us all for our sins. Or you can say, forgive me for my sins. Make me brand new. I believe you died and you are risen so I could be forgiven. So I could serve you. Fill me with your spirit so I can follow you all the rest of the days of my life, and that those dead areas of life will be pushed away because you are the resurrection. You are the life. And I believe, and I want to live it out. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This altar is open for you. I'll be up here to pray. I believe Randy will be here as well. So please feel free to come and pray. Amen. Thank you.
proclaim that I am yours. I am yours.
All that I am.
And all that I am, I place into your loving hands, and I am yours. I am Hi.
I was thinking and reminded that that's one of our favorite songs to sing, and we sang that song, I think, last year as well on Easter. And there was a lady here named Lauren, and it was her favorite song. And a month later, she went on to be with the Lord. You don't know. You don't know. She was 28 years old. You don't know. And she went through a lot of struggles, a lot of troubles, but she knew. She knew that from the rooftop she was going to shout out that she was his. With a several-year battle with cancer, she knew whatever happened, that she was his. And guess what? Today, she celebrates her first Easter in heaven. This is real. This is not something that we just go and eat a chocolate bunny and go on. It's eternity. It's eternity. So I know today that she's shouting from a rooftop from a mansion in heaven. And I can't wait to see her one day and shout with her. Have an awesome, awesome Easter. Because Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will never die, but will live. Do you believe it? Amen.